Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Suven Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the results presentation that was sent to you earlier. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Cyndrella Carvalho, Head Investor Relations from Suven Pharmaceuticals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Darwin. Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all on Suven Pharma's Q3 FY24 earnings call. Let me introduce you to our management team present here with us today. We have our Executive Chairman, Mr. Annaswamy Vaidheesh, our Managing Director, Dr. Prasada Raju, our CEO, Dr. Sudhir Singh, our new CFO, Himanshu Agarwal. Our management team will dwell into industry dynamics, strategy, and operational highlights for 9 months and quarter. Following that, CFO Himanshu will provide in-depth insights into our financial performance. Later, we'll open the call for Q&A. Let us proceed with the opening remarks from our Executive Chairman, Mr. Vaidheesh.
Thank you, Cyndrella. Good evening, everyone. We extend a warm welcome to all of you on our Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. To start with, at a macro level, our third-quarter results were in line as expected. As indicated in the previous quarter, near-term macro challenges persist due to industry-wide inventory destocking in specialty chemicals and impact on growth due to COVID supplies in the base for pharma CDMO. This is likely to keep our next few quarters' performance soft. However, we remain very confident of our midterm. We have focused on fostering customer relationships, optimizing operations, and strategically positioning ourselves for long-term growth. We continue to have engaging conversations with our existing and potential customers on the early and late commercial projects. The current RFQs pipeline sustains a higher pace, and we are witnessing traction in the RFQs conversions. We are striving toward business opportunities in the medium term. As you are aware, we have also announced our ESOP scheme, reinforcing our commitment to employee benefits and talent retention. The resolution is ongoing. ESOPs are intended to not only foster a sense of ownership and motivation but also align directly with our growth objectives, creating a dynamic environment. By linking employee interest with Suven's pharma growth, we aim to deliver value to both our employees and shareholders. On our midterm, we continue to be optimistic, and all our energies are driven behind what we think is a good growth opportunity in the midterm and long term. So with that, I'll hand it over to Dr. Sudhir Singh.
Thank you, Vaidheesh. Welcome, everyone, on this earnings call. As Vaidheesh mentioned in his speech, the RFQ pipeline and conversions are progressing well as we strive towards medium-term business opportunities. Our focus lies on prioritizing strategic customer relationships, operational optimization, and fostering long-term growth. The ongoing progress of our R&D lab and Suryapet expansion, operational capacity expansion, is consistent with our effort towards Suven Plus growth trajectory. Our business development team positions us for continued success in strategic growth opportunities as several discussions on early and late-stage project management project engagements are ongoing. Despite near-term softness, our confidence remains strong in achieving medium-term growth. Now I would request our Managing Director, Dr. Prasada Raju, to open his remarks.
Thank you, Dr. Sudhir, and our Chairman Annaswamy Vaidesh. Very good evening to all of you, and warm welcome to your company's earnings call. Our priorities for the coming year include the persistent engagement with customers, building out respective teams, ongoing investment in infrastructure for EHS and ESG as a part of our strengthening our business fundamentals, consistent cost improvement and strategic investments in technology and capability building is an important priority. Apart from this, we are also focusing on extensive M&A pipeline. Near-term macro challenges persist due to industry-wide inventory destocking in specialty chemicals and impact of COVID supplies in the base. This is likely to keep our next few quarter performance soft. However, we remain confident about our medium term. We are pleased to welcome Mr. Himanshu Agarwal as our new CFO, bringing with him an impressive career spanning over 28 years. He has previously held key roles at Bennett & Coleman, Automaki, Azure Nobel India, AstraZeneca, and ICI India. I will now invite our CFO, Himanshu, to share the financial insights. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Prasad, and thank you to the management team for welcoming in the Suren's family. At the outset, I would like to express my gratitude to Mr. Sundar and Mr. Subba Rao for their significant contributions to Suven's success. Moving to the results, I think as expected and as informed earlier, we are at Suven adjusting to a global destocking in the spec chem business, as well as to the COVID molecule base effect. I think as has been communicated earlier, our nature of the business is such that a quarter-to-quarter performance is not really reflected of the true business performance. Our business performance is much better understood and reflected through the YTD numbers. Therefore, I will first cover the 9 months of FY24. In the 9 months of FY24, our revenue from operation was at 798 crores, reflecting a decline of 18%. However, as mentioned by Dr. Sudhir, the spec chem business is down due to global destocking, and we still have COVID molecules last year base effect. If we were to exclude these two elements from our base, then the underlying business revenue is at a growth of 35%. And the pharma CDMO business, excluding the COVID molecule, has grown at around 2%. Despite the softness in the revenue due to macro headwinds, our adjusted EBITDA is at 348 crores, which is at a very healthy EBITDA margin of 44% and ahead of last year adjusted EBITDA margins of 41%. Similarly, the business adjusted PAT at rupees 257 crores is at a margin of 32%, which is well ahead of last year adjusted PAT margin of 29%. As Dr. Sudhir said, our capacity expansion at Surapet is going well. We had committed 200 crores on Surapet and we progress in that right direction on that. And similarly, we have, as mentioned earlier, allotted a capex of around 30 to 40 crores in our new R&D facility, which continues in progress in line with our plans. As mentioned earlier, the quarter-to-quarter do not reflect the true nature of our business. Nevertheless, I will still cover the quarter three financials as reported. As you would notice in the press release, our quarter three reflects the cost associated with the new hires and the ongoing implementation of new systems and processes in the results. Our revenue from operations is 220 crores, which has declined 38%. While overall growth has been impacted by spec chem destocking and base effect of COVID molecule, excluding these two elements, the revenue grows at around 2%. The adjusted EBITDA is in line with previous year EBITDA. So EBITDA margins is around 36% versus the last year EBITDA margin at 38%. Similarly, the PAT at 57 crores comes to the margin at 26% in line with the last year margins of 28%. Now I would request Dr. Radheesh if he could give us a summary.
Thank you, Himanshu. So we anticipate that the near-term macro challenges will persist due to industry-wide destocking, which I mentioned it in the beginning itself. And this is likely to keep our next few quarter performance up. But as I mentioned, we remain confident of our midterm. In summary, our transition to new management is complete, and we have strengthened our senior leadership. And despite short-term challenges, our focus on customer engagement, strategic initiatives, and medium to long-term macro tailwinds remains unwaveringly strong. And with this, we thank you for your time and open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we request that you please restrict yourselves to two questions per person. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. And please use handsets while asking a question. We will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Aurika Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to check what was the revenues from the COVID molecule in the same quarter last year, which you are referring to as a high base?
So Gokul, I mean, what's important is that what we've highlighted, that our business, excluding the COVID molecule, in 9 months is at positive 2%. Okay? I mean, unfortunately, we would not be in a position to give an individual molecule by molecule level information.
Okay, so previous management had indicated that the COVID revenues in year FY22 was 120 crores. So this was a bit of a surprise that in FY23, there was no COVID revenues as such. So are you saying that there is no revenues in the Q3 FY23 quarter for COVID? Because you are referring to the 9 months number as a year-to-date figure.
Which is correct. Q3 FY23 did not have a COVID revenue number.
So in that case, the CDMO business for the pharma CDMO business has seen a 33% drop in this particular quarter. Is there any particular reason why there is such a sharp drop in the business in this particular quarter in this business?
No, I don't think so. I have given you any number in terms of a pharma CDMO drop. I think what's relevant, as I said, that we have very categorically said that this business is not representative from a quarter-to-quarter perspective. We will have to look at this business from a YTD perspective, because otherwise the business will not give a sense. And see, that's very important for us to understand, that we have to look at this business from a YTD perspective rather than quarter-on-quarter perspective.
Just the second question is on the Cohance merger. You mentioned in your annual report that there is a plan to merge this company. Could you give an update on what is the strategy on that front and what's the progress?
So, see, from a board perspective, we have passed a resolution for evaluation, and we are in the process of evaluating that merger. We will update you once we have more understanding.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, the thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to know, a few quarters back, we knew that there were around 5 molecules in phase 3 trials. Would the new management be able to tell us what this, how many molecules are currently in phase 3 and ongoing?
Thank you, Darshan. As of now, we don't get any new update of the moment. As you understand, it's a long-term in nature, and quarter-on-quarter significant movement cannot happen, and still they are at the same stage.
Right. And so earlier, we used to get details on the number of projects we are currently ongoing and the phase-wise details. So would the new management be kind of able to provide those in the presentation, and so that we get an idea of how many projects we have added, which are in which phases? Your thoughts on that?
Darshan, just to let you know, as you understand the kind of innovative customer that we deal with, we are abide by certain NDAs and we prefer not to dwell on to their pipeline status, and you should have to kindly bear with us. We would not be able to dwell deeper into it.
Got it. And so we are seeing that given the global situation, be starting right now, we expect next few quarters to be soft. So when we expect normal growth kind of to return to the business, providing that none of the phase 3 molecules kind of go into commercial in next few quarters?
Darshan, as you understand, currently we still are watching to understand how the bottom out of entire decline happens. We feel we might be at the middle of this cycle. Unless we clearly get a sense of whether it is completely bottomed out or not, we will not be able to really tell you how much time it will take for recovery.
Got it. And then lastly, can you help us understand what this adjusted EBITDA, the old inventory provision that you have kind of provided in the recent presentation?
Yeah, I'm requesting our CFO Himanshu to take up. Himanshu.
So, Darshan, as you would notice, I think we have in the press release mentioned that the old inventory provision has been adjusted for around 134 million, so which is 13.4 crores. So that's the number that has been provided for as a one-time provision.
So this is just for this one time, for this quarter itself, or it will be a recurring thing now, henceforth in our kind of presentation and press release?
No, so this is, as I said, this is one-time provision for the old inventory that we have assessed at this stage.
Okay. Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one at this time. We have the next question from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you. So, sir, I just had one question, and I understand that this is a qualitative remark and you may not, but just to understand, there has been a reasonably long period of consolidation and which we have been looking for in the, as a company also. So if you can give some perspective about what do you mean when you say that the near term is challenging, but in the medium long term you are there. So does the medium term mean 1 year plus, or is it a longish period than the medium term or less?
So Mayur, just to give you a perspective, there are two important challenges are happening. One is on the specialty chemical side, which is definitely cyclical phenomenon is happening on the destocking of the
sir,
situation.
Ex of agrochem, if you can say, sir, I understand. Sorry, just I understand. I should have clarified in the question. I mean, ex of agrochem, how do you see that, sir?
On the pharma?
CDMO pharma is also only 2% kind of growth. So, you know, ex of that, how do you see?
Pharma CDMO has multiple challenges to address. One is definitely, as you understand, we have to depend on the customer's growth, and customers will eventually depend on the clinical success of the molecule. Number two, we also look at some of the stock and inventory optimization levels. So these are the two important phenomena. It's very hard for us to really predict when a phase 3 molecule can be ready for a readout and followed by the NDA filing and approval. Hence, we stay relevant to our customers and wait for them to have a successful clinical closure, which normally takes anywhere between 1.5 to 2 years' time. That's how we are not able to exactly define what would be the terrain at which the success comes.
So at the broad level, you are still not in a position to give us any indication about what does that medium term mean and how many quarters we still go through these challenges, right? Is that right?
Yeah. From a pharma CDMO on a YTD basis, it's at 24% is the number. I think it's not 2%. Just wanted to clarify.
YTD, yes. Sir, just one clarification. Sorry, I misunderstood. There was a question that Q3 of FY23, there was no COVID molecule, right?
No. I think there is a clarification. Quarter 3 of previous year has a COVID molecule. It is there in the base of the COVID molecule.
Right, so that is what I was also coming, because your reference just went a little high, that is why I got coming. So correct, so Q3 FY23 had.
Yes.
Okay. So last question from my side. We have been trying to move the business, apart from the CDMO and agrochem, we have been trying to enter into intermediates and the API chain also. And there was a more integrated kind of play for us. Where are we in the discussion stage with the client, or is that still there, or is it only going to be mainly after the merger happens, or is it somewhere which, you know, how do we see that angle aspect of business playing out over the next 1 year?
Currently, Mayur, there is one active project for graduation from a registered starting material to API by one of the innovator company. Project is still active, but as you understand, it has to follow through certain procedures, including quality checks and also a customer visit to the facilities, which is active, but we cannot exactly decide by when it will be over and it will be converted into commercial. Second part of your question, you are also referring to, can we convert that into formulation and be a forward integration? We don't expect even the midterm also that is going to happen, because we as a country don't have a precedence of providing formulated product to innovator companies. I hope it clarifies your question.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
So in the opening remarks, you spoke about some M&A activity and some RFQ discussions. Can you throw some better light on it? Just want to understand in detail what are our thoughts there.
So there are two parts you mentioned. One is on the M&A side. As you understand, we have surplus cash in the balance sheet. As a part of our overall growth strategy, we are also evaluating potential possibilities of inorganic ways to expand and accelerate our growth aspirations. Currently, we are actively pursuing and looking for a few technology platforms which can differentiate ourselves from the existing crowd and also stay very relevant to our existing customers. That activity is happening right now.
And what about this RFQ? Like you said, that RFQ pipeline is increasing. So when do you see some impact over revenues, maybe 6 months, 12 months? Can you throw some light on that as well?
As you understand, RFQs, definitely we have seen improved inflow. But as you understand, it takes time for RFQ conversion by the customers also. We expect in the next 1-2 quarters, some of the results should come in. It will not take more long either way. Whether we win or we lose, we will get to know in next 1-2 quarters time. That's a common cycle that we follow.
And M&A, when you said you're exploring some inorganic opportunities, so do you see something closing in next 1 year?
That is the aspiration that we have, but we would not be able to create any speculation at this stage unless we are clear. But definitely there is a healthy pipeline of M&A opportunities that we are pursuing right now. Appropriately, we'll come back to all of you.
And a last question. We have built a lot of capabilities and capacity upgradation we have done in the last few years. So when do you think we can optimally utilize to our strategic perspective in the next 2-3 years, this capacity is what we have built or upgraded?
So again, this is an ongoing exercise of current capacity utilization in the case of various units of Suven that we have. More importantly, Suryapet new capacity expansion has been one more addition to us. Currently, we are planning for in the next 2 years' time, we should be able to really bring this capacity to an optimal level. That's our internal endeavor. Today, we have enough capacity available for us.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, just on the M&A side, so now we understand we have 1,000 crores, so roughly around that amount with us. So when you're talking about newer technologies and platforms that you're looking at, so this is over and above the board consent that you've probably got to kind of merge Cohance also. So this is over and above what we are planning to probably looking at Cohance and other relevant technology and platforms also. Is that understanding correct?
Darshit, currently we are looking for whatever the M&A opportunity which can be more meaningful and a strategic for driving the Suven growth is our top priority right now. Hence, your understanding is correct.
And lastly, you've been talking about a 5-year vision for the company. So when can we expect something to be out in the presentation for the investors?
Darshit, currently it is at a draft stage. As you understand, last quarter call we were mentioning it is work in progress, but definitely our teams have kept a lot of effort and we have reached to a draft stage. We are contemplating how can we really convert that into a final blueprint. Sometime towards the closure of the year, probably we can come back with some specific outcomes of the overall blueprint. Otherwise, we are at an advanced stage of closing it.
Surely, sir. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask questions, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yes, just regarding, I think you're talking about near-term weakness. So what's your CAPEX plan? Are we putting that on hold or we want to still continue with that if you can throw light on that for next 1 or 2 years?
Ashish, as you heard us consistently today, our endeavor is to deepen our existing relationship with customers and fill up the current capacity, which is relatively suboptimally used right now, then appropriately plan for the CapEx. That's how we are looking for right now, which means your understanding is very correct. Midterm, we try to decide based on our overall strategic options in which assets that we have to have a CapEx allocation.
But any guideline on maintenance CapEx which will definitely be required in like next 1 year or 2 years?
So normally to maintain our facilities, we continue to have the CapEx, which we will, historically we have been spending, the same amount will go. I'm talking about more of a growth CapEx. We will wait till we reach to a certain stage of optimal usage of capacities.
When you say optimal, is it like 50% sort of thing or lower?
So normally above 50% is the right trigger point. As you understand, Ashish, the CapEx has two components. One is building a civil structure. Second one is equipment installation and qualification. Infrastructure of civil takes long time. Hence, our trigger point is to keep the infrastructure of civil first, then wait for the product level mapping and the customer level mapping comes into a play. So we decide after 1.5 to 2 years, once we reach to 50% of the capacity, we start building a civil structure. Again, in our business, our 80% is 100% of utilization because we do not want to run with more than 80% of the capacity occupancy because we will lose the flexibility to the customers. That's how we look at the CapEx decisions.
And one last question, this M&A, are you planning in India or outside of India?
Currently, at least first few assets, we are hoping to have it in India right now. But again, we'll come back with specific answers as Darshit was also asking. You should allow us for some time. There is a healthy pipeline. We'll get back with specific answers soon.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Auriga Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. I'm just trying to just, sorry to harp on this, on the COVID thing. I'm just referring to your page 24 of the annual report where you have mentioned that, and I quote, the growth seems to be subdued owing to the one-off revenue from the COVID-related projects in FY22, which was absent in FY23. If we take these numbers out, the growth of the numbers align with their growth of business estimates. So I'm just a bit curious and confused in terms of what base are you referring in terms of COVID molecule revenues for FY23?
So Gokul, let's take this offline because I have not had the opportunity to look at what you are looking at.
Okay, this is the page 24 of the annual report, which you may, I'm happy to take this offline. But I'm just quoting it, that it's in your annual report, which is mentioned.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
So thank you again for taking my question. Sir, just follow up on the last one because again it has cropped up. We would request you to kindly issue a press release if there is any change in the understanding we have. It will help us, all of us, because it will in terms of overall disclosure also. So if there is any change in the requirement, request you to kindly release a press release, which will help us. Secondly, sir, on the generic side.
Mayur, if you can just hold for a moment. Can you just elaborate? We could not follow your request, please.
No, sir, I was saying, referring to the last question, because with respect to the COVID base, COVID drug base, there is some confusion. So instead of having only one analyst as offline, request you to, if you can issue a press release, if there is any change in your current disclosure requirements, if any.
It's more of a clarification. It doesn't have any materiality. However, we take your point. We'll ensure that there is no information asymmetry. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So the question actually I had on the generic and the formulation side, there has been some uptick which was seen. after quite a long period of that opportunity not being there, and our tie-up with or our understanding with Rising Pharma, which was there. How should we look at that segment from two perspectives? One is, are we going to now see a sustained growth coming up? And secondly, in the initial phases, are the margins on that a little back-ended as we, the minimum sale and then it percolates down to the bottom line later phase, or does it still more evenly spread as we go ahead overall in terms of segments? If you can just give us some understanding of how we see that in the next 1 year or so as far as this formulation in the concerns. Thank you.
So I'll try to divide this question into multiple places. One is definitely the extent of commercialization of some of the filings which have happened in the past. We see progress happening right now. And as we speak, even last quarter, which is Q3 ending December of 23, we had three ANDAs approved related to two products. And we also seem to have the commercialization also of the molecules happening. And the way we look at here, last year it was Casper Aspect is actually making a loss, and this year we expect loss can be minimized, and next year definitely based on the extent of commercialization of this approved ANDA, so definitely loss making to a profit making will always happen. Number two, in terms of the margin, it always follow the revenue. And in some cases, there is an extent of composition of profit share happens in the business. On an accrual basis, it also gets recognized. However, this is a continuous ongoing activity. Obviously, it will recur going forward. These are all the two points. I hope it answers your question.
So, sir, current set of molecules which have gone into commercialization are more evenly spread on margins, or they will, as on our profit share, current set which we are seeing the uptick?
Difficult to share that right now, but definitely the composition has both. Composition of molecule comes with both, hence margin also will be evenly spread. That's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Cinderella Carvalho for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, participants, for your time. Any questions unanswered, please reach out to the Investor Relations or CDR at your convenience. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Suven Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.